The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
Tonight, as we continue in this series of this pure life, this Islamic life, I want to take our minds and our discussion to the next level and look at a topic which is really the foundational block of this religion of Islam. And that is about Tawheed, what we would really, very roughly translate as monotheism, the oneness of God. One of the reasons why we are expected to not only have the theoretical Tawheed, but to make it our worldview, that the way that we look at everything around us, that it becomes based on Tawheed, is because of the fact that whatever people do in this world is normally based upon their own motive, their own motivation, right? The niyyah, the intention, why we people do things. Everybody does things for their own personal reasons. And Allah, you know, mentions this in the Quran in chapter 17, verse number 86, where He says, كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ, that everybody does work or stuff based on their own personal reasons. Right? There are those who do things for fame, for their, you know, TikTok moment, to get famous on Instagram, to get famous on social media. People do stuff. There are people who do things even on, you know, in terms of religion. They do things because they think they will get more, you know, likes on social media. They'll get more invitations. You know, people even pray, unfortunately, sometimes, not for Allah, but for others around them. You know, it's like this story that people quote. I don't know if it really happened, but the story says that one day there's a Muslim in the masjid. He walks into the mosque, probably in the Middle East, because they're open all the time. And the man goes in the masjid and he starts to pray, Allahu Akbar. He starts the first surah. And then as he's praying, he hears some noise behind him. So he thinks to himself in the middle of prayers, oh, somebody's come into the mosque. Let me kind of show off, you know, and recite a longer surah. Make a longer dua in kunut. And so he goes and he makes the longest prayer he's ever prayed. Long surah of the Quran, a long dua in kunut, a long ruku, an extra long sajda. He takes a 2-rakat prayer, which would normally take him maybe a minute and a half, and it's extended to like 5 or 6 minutes. He finishes that prayer to see who is behind him. He turns around and a cat walked into the mosque. So he made a beautiful prayer for a cat, thinking that that was somebody who would be amazed by his prayer. So his reward is not with Allah on the Day of Judgment. That cat will have to give him the reward. Right? So people act, people do stuff because of other people, unfortunately. And even people worship other than Allah. I don't mean idol worshippers. I don't mean people that worship in a temple. No, Allah tells us, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen those people that take their lower desires, their whims, their passions to be their God? They worship the self. Right? They worship their own egos. Right? Why do people take selfies? You know, up until 15, 16 years ago, there was no word called selfie because we didn't have phones with front-facing cameras. But once those came into being and people started taking selfies, it's because you want to be seen. I want to be seen in the public, you know, on a beach or doing some activity or having fun and showing the world what I'm doing, right? It all became about the self, the nafs, the ego, me. I want to be center stage, the limelight. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُهُ هَوَىٰ. This verse is so relevant to that concept that it's almost like Allah revealed it for this era, people that would take themselves as being the focal point in society. And ultimately, when people get to that level, they begin to forget Allah. And as Allah says in the Quran, He takes it further and He says that when you forget Allah, Allah allows you to forget yourself. Right? You lose direction in life. You lose that life, that life that Allah and the Messenger call us towards that we talked about last night. And we become people that are the worst of the worst. In fact, there's a hadith I want to share with us. It's narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen, and also it comes to us from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And it's a very harsh hadith. You know, but when it comes to speaking truth, the Prophet and Imams, they don't mince their words. If they have to be a bit harsh and forthcoming, and maybe what we might consider as being abrasive or rude, they say it, just as the Quran, right? Many times Allah says in the Quran that Allah is not scared of the truth, right? Allah is not embarrassed to tell the truth and tell it like it is. Even when the Sahaba, the companions, would come to the house of the Prophet, and they would come and eat food, and they would sit around and chill with the Prophet and chit-chat and talk and waste his time, Allah says in the Quran that the Prophet wants you to leave, but he has too much humility, too much greatness to ask you to leave. But the verse says Allah is not embarrassed, and Allah will tell you, Allah will call a spade and tell you, get out of the house of the Prophet, eat, finish your conversation, then leave. The Prophet has wife, he has got family, he's got things to do. Don't sit there and just, you know, take up his time. So Allah is not scared to tell the truth. So what does the Prophet say? What does Imam Ali say about people that use this world and it becomes their God, their focal point? Everything centers around them. The hadith says, "Man kana himmatuhu ma yadkhulu batnahu, kana qimatuhu ma yakhruju min batnihi." It's a pretty harsh hadith. He says that that person whose ambitions and endeavors are solely focused on what goes into their stomach, their whole life is about what you eat. You know, you see these TV shows on the channels of Master Chef and cooking and all of these things to make the food look exactly how it should be. People spend hours prepping food. I'm not saying we don't do that, but we eat good food, but going overboard in extremes. The Imam is quoted as saying that that person whose entire focus is what they consume, their worth in life is what comes out at the end. Now you know what comes out at the end. So imagine the Imam is saying that when your entire focus is this dunya and this world, your worth is just what comes out in the toilet. Right? You don't have any worth because your self-worth is now gone. You're only looking at your own passions, your own whims, your own desires. And so in order to wrap up and conclude, we remind ourselves that a true follower on this path of seeking life, استجيبوا لله ولرسوله إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم, as chapter 8 said, answer the call of Allah and the Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life, is that we need to go back to Tawheed. Not just God is one, and now we're done as people who believe in Tawheed. No, that we internalize Tawheed. We recognize that not only is there only one God, but everything that we do from the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep, from the time we become mentally aware, we become baligh, we know our responsibilities, until the time we die, whether it's in this center, it's at work, it's at school, it's in the mall, it's in the park, that all of this becomes something and things that we do based on the world outlook of Tawheed, on the oneness of Allah. There's no doubt that we have to study the theoretical aspect, and there are great books written by our great scholars that have analyzed Tawheed and given us the in-depth understanding of Tawheed. But once we've understood the theory of Tawheed, that's where we then go to the practical. That now, how do I color every day of my life with the color of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As Allah says in the Quran, Sibghatullah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغًا, that take on the color of Allah. Take on this appearance of Allah. Now Allah doesn't have a color. Allah doesn't have a shape. But what he's saying is sibghat Allah is take on the qualities of Allah. Take on the characteristics. Become a true follower of Allah. Become one with Allah. Not in a physical sense, not in a sense of, you know, that we morph with Allah or that we merge into Allah. No, but that we become one with Allah, that our entire lives become patterned on the life that Allah wants us to lead. And that life can be epitomized when we follow the Prophet and his family, the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalatu wassalam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Hali Hakim Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه